from NPR Music. You're connected to All Songs Considered, the electronic edition. Here we are in 2012. I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Sammy Yenigan. I'm here with Otis Hart. And we're listening to VCMG. Let's listen to a little bit. Sounds. VC is the initials for Vince Clark.
Vince Clark.
Yeah. Vince Clark, people know him from
Depeche Mode. That's right. He was one of the original members of Depeche Mode, and he, him and Martin Gore, who's the other, the MG and VCMG, they haven't worked together in 30 years, and this is kind of their first project since being in that band together.
This is better than anything I ever heard Depeche Mode. Let's listen to a tiny bit more and come back. So in your world, is this, are these respectable musicians? Are these people you expected to make a good record?
There's certainly a lot of hype around this release.
Well, that's one thing, but I'm talking about the how you feel about the music.
I love the music.
Oh, good.
This album is really great the whole way through.
The record's called
SSSS or S. This is. I was talking to Vince Clark. Yeah, that's right. I was talking to Vince Clark the other day about making this record, and he says it's unlike anything he's ever done. He decided to do it because he did a remix for Plastic Man, also known as Richie Hawtin, one of the big Detroit kind of legends in techno. And he had never really listened to minimal or techno or anything like that, and he kind of found Beatport, which we've talked about on this show before, and went through all of this you know type of music, and was just inspired to make a techno record. You know, when I was talking to him, he was saying he was shocked by the way that, you know, this music uses sounds as opposed to kind of emotive lyrics to communicate emotion. And this was something that he wanted, another field in production that he wanted to kind of conquer.
Cool.
So I think he did.
Oh, does he like this too?
I'm loving it. It reminds me of sort of like the first few years of Compact Record Label in Germany. They sort of had this like tech house feel to it. And also, I'm not surprised that this is on Mute. There's a Daniel Miller quality to this. You know, Daniel was the man behind the Normal. I'm really excited to hear this whole record. I haven't heard it yet.
Song's called Bendy Bass. Is this out?
Bendy Bass. No, it's not out yet.
Comes out roughly.
I think March 12th.
March 12th, 13th.
Okay. Yeah. They always have the Monday dates in the UK and the Tuesday dates in the US.
That's right.
However that ever worked out.
That's right.
Otis, take us somewhere else.
The big news of the day is that Burial dropped a new EP yesterday on Sunday.
Big news.
It's big news in my little corner of the internet. But yeah, that's the way Burial works. He's sort of like Radiohead in that way. There's no press release. There's no promo. They just shows up in stores Monday morning.
And says, I'm going to give you something that's going to blow your mind.
And did it?
It's a double EP. Three of the songs came out last year, and there's three new ones. So mine not completely blown, but this song's called Loner.
There's something out there.
a lot of nice forward motion. Good
yeah,
drive.
I think this is the danciest I've ever heard Burial without a remix involved.
It's really housey.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think Burial, you know, obviously he operates in a sort of a bubble, but he's got this thing with a lot of London bass music right now is that it's so crisp, it's so processed, and Burial's always operated under this sort of shroud, lo-fi vinyl hiss.
That's not lo-fi.
And this is like taking the best of what I think, you know, the London scene is creating and sort of like fitting it into Burial's signature sound, which is, you know, it's different for Burial. Usually you see him out in front, like, leading the way for people, and I feel like he's taking some influences in this time.
It's got some new sounds in here.
So the famous songs
Loner
and Street Halo?
This it's a double EP, Street Halo, Kindred. So this is off the Kindred half.
Excellent. Yeah. Sammy Yenigan.
So where do you want to go now? Let's go to John Talabot. How about
this guy?
So there's a producer who goes by the name John Talabot, and he's kind of the darling child of the electronic music world right now. He's from Barcelona, and his new album is called Finn. The song I picked is called Destiny, and it's featuring another producer, Pional, as the vocalist. So let's take a listen.
Talabot. This sounds, this sort of has like almost a real song structure to it, that it's, it almost feels like it has a verse, chorus, and a bridge.
Definitely has more of a pop structure to it.
I think the vocal hook, as awesome as Talabot's production is, hey you, come on, get over here, is that's the hook. I mean, that's what gets you playing the song.
Yeah.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, I love this too. I mean,
and you say he's a darling of electronic music these days, but I don't know anything beyond that. Tell me more about him.
Well, so he's from Barcelona, and he's been working, he's worked under a couple of different aliases. Talabot is not his actual real name. But he, this is kind of the persona that he said, this is the sound that he had been striving for his whole life, and it's kind of this... I don't want to say beachy because he's kind of fought back against that.
I think it's Balearic.
But it's Balearic.
The Balearic Islands off of Spain.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Ravel's Bolero or something. I thought you were talking Bolero like a song form.
No, it's the island of Ibiza off of Spain. They have all-night parties there. It's been that way for 20, I know Manhattan, 30, 40 years.
I know Long Island.
It's all about sort of this like relaxed party feel.
In a club at night on a Saturday?
Well, with the sun coming up.
Oh, I see.
That's right. Okay. Sunrise music.
Okay, good, good. I like that. John Talbot.
Yeah.
Hang on one more. We'll put all these songs online in full. I'm here with Sammy Yenigan. I'm here with Otis Hart. We're talking electronic music. That was Sammy's pick. Where are we going, Otis?
I think that since Balearic music came up, we might as well just go with the Two Bears. Their music was really big in the Balearic party scene last year, but I wouldn't necessarily say that, you know, it fits in right next to John Talabot. It's more of a house feel. Anyway, the Two Bears are Joe from Hot Chip and his friend Rafi, who runs an awesome party called Greco Sound System.
Yeah, sneak a little in here.
Greco-Roman Sound System. And their album came out in the U.S. After a full year of hype in England at the end of January. And this is the title track. It's called Be Strong. We can talk about it after. Okay.
This is a group with a monster sense of humor, yes.
I guess we buried the lead. Yeah, they perform in bear suits.
Okay, thank you.
Sets you free, but all my life the music has imprisoned me, keeps me awake at night and in the morning, but on the music I can't pull no score. Some people tell you what to listen to, spend the whole time saying this and that is cool, you've got to follow your own mind and ears, and find the sound that stays inside your head for you. Some people say that music sets you free, but all my life the music has imprisoned me, keeps me awake at night and in the morning, but on the music I can't pull no score. You got to believe everything and nothing, or you got nothing at all. Give the music all your loving, then you won't stumble, you won't fall.
That list that he's reading off kind of reminds me of the LCD Sound System.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's these guys are massive record collectors, and this whole side project was basically a love letter to the music in their stacks, and you got a short taste of what they had there. I noticed they mentioned A Tribe Called Quest and Moody Man and
the Beach Boys.
Well, the Beach Boys, they got to. It's a DJ sort of house culture list where I think LCD was even more nerdy.
P.S. Nerdy.
So, but yeah, this track to me, it just encapsulates everything. It's my love-hate relationship with music because, you know, you have other responsibilities in life. Like, I just send in my rent check a week late, and it's because I'm always like, I get home and I focus on music, and I come to work and I focus on music, and I feel like that, you know, they have that same sort of quote-unquote problem in that they can never music is really imprisoning them instead of...
Maybe we can just turn the show into like a giant support group.
There is something I'm trying to track down that I can't find anywhere. If anyone has a download of the Regis box set that came out in December, only 300 were made. This is, I'm just shout out to anyone who owns
this
it. I would love a rip. Everyone who bought it, no one has ripped it and uploaded it anywhere in the internet.
Wow. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe.
Well, it is for the people who own it. Yeah. That's true.
Would you rip it and put it up?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Why not?
Because.
Is this a moral thing or a collector thing?
I'm a hypocrite. No, I just, I think, I definitely don't want to be in the business of screwing over musicians.
So the artists would not want you to do that. Even though they've made a limited edition, they would want you to keep the 300 people, keep it to themselves.
I imagine that's not true. He made 300 for a reason. And apparently he doesn't want it to be everywhere.
You know, clearly they're going for something that's more of a, you got to buy it, you got to hold it, you got to own it if you want to hear it.
I think it's disingenuous to say I'm going to release something and I know that no one else but the 300 people are going to hear it. I think that's nuts. How could you not think that? And why would you even want only 300 people to hear something? I think I don't know this culture like you do, but it seems to me they know they're going to sell 300. They know they're going to get a whole lot of money for the 300 because they're only 300. And they know everybody's going to hear the music because someone's going to upload it. I mean, I think it's disingenuous to think anything else. Sorry.
I think also, I mean, this an unintended consequence is the black market for these items.
It's
totally
but
insane.
But it's even worse from the artist standpoint because they don't get anything from that. At least if I spread the word by uploading something I bought for $75, at least it'll turn people on to the music and get them to the shows. I'm not advocating it necessarily, but at least there's something for the artist. If I buy this thing for $75 and turn around and sell it for $400. The artist still gets only their $75 or the cut of $75.
But there's something, and this was, I had a conversation with Terry Tamlitz way back. It's somebody, if you're not familiar, DJ Sprinkles does a whole bunch of different side projects. Anyways, he was talking about the experience of making music for a hyper-specific audience. Mm-hmm. As kind of your music becomes more accessible to people, he feels that his music is diluted. I mean, if he wants to make something for the 300 people that are going to buy it, it somehow, retains this kind of focused, pure image of what his sound should be. And I do think that there is something by releasing only 300 records, you're saying, look, this is for the 300 people who believe in this sound and want to hear this specific.
If you want to hear 300 people hear it, you put on a concert for 300 people and you tell them not to record it. I mean,
Well, people are going to record it on their iPhones.
But that's the closest you can possibly come to controlling that. Anyway.
But maybe more it's about what he's saying than the actual practical.
That might be it. I like that. Maybe we've gone down this rabbit hole. I'm not sure. Let's play some music.
So what you got next, Sammy?
I got Nina Kravitz. She is a Russian producer. She's kind of the next installment of this big queens of the underground, to use Mixmag's terminology, but these big female underground DJs, Maya Jane Coles,
Steffi,
now Nina Kravitz. There's this whole wave of deep house producers that is kind of tearing up nightclubs all over the place. I just saw Maya Jane Coles at U-Haul, but I digress. This is Nina Kravitz. This song is called Taxi Talk. Don't have come.
that. That's really hypnotic and good.
Yeah, the
and
whole
record. And this is
record,
Nina Kravitz, K-R-A-V-I-Z.
Z, that's right. Her self-titled debut comes out in March.
February 27th.
February 27th, late February. It's a totally weird, deep record.
Is
that,
is there as much words on the rest of the record as there is on this?
Yeah, there's records. There's words all over it. Yeah, and she's singing on most of it. So, yeah, it is unusual for kind of a techno record to have that.
So the Grimes record, I think, which we may get to, has some of that.
Grimes,
lots of words.
We want to just go into Grimes from here.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
So Grimes is the music of Claire Boucher.
Boucher
from Montreal.
Yeah, she's been around for a little while. She is part of like this sort of underground punk scene in Montreal.
Punk. She seems way too sweet and ethereal to say punk.
I'm saying punk as the best
DIY
description possible.
Very good.
Yeah, it's not. She's not part of like a techno scene the way you know London has.
Okay.
You know, its scene. She's just you know she's a musician who plays shows in dingy clubs, except she uses, you know, a Roland keyboard instead of a guitar to make her music. So
and
she,
all the sounds that she makes, she's the only one on stage, at least when I've seen her.
Yeah, it's all her, and she's got a new album coming out. Actually, you can stream it right now at nprmusic.org.
Yes!
The entire album.
Visions.
It's called Visions. It's on 4AD.
What are we going to play?
We're going to play a song called Vowels Equal Time. Space and Time.
Good.
And I'll tell you a little bit more about it when we come back.
Okay. Most people, they don't know Grimes, but this is, first record I know about, but this third record, right?
Yeah, she's released two LPs and an EP, I think, over the last couple of years.
And Visions is the one that just is coming out on the 21st, if mm-hmm. I do my math right, of February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we spoke to Claire about this song specifically. And it was it's actually a sort of on an island compared to the rest of this record. She had recorded, you know, obviously two albums and an EP beforehand, but she never made that music thinking that anyone would actually hear it outside of her group of friends or outside of Montreal. So for this album, knowing that a lot more people would hear it, it's on 4AD, she sat down and tried to be sort of like a professional, quote-unquote, and write songs with lyrics that mean stuff. Well, this song is the only song in the album that she wrote where the sounds of the words were what she was focusing on, and what the words were
were... The words meant.
Yeah, whatever they meant, that was sort of a bonus. Mm-hmm. Like, she was going for the aesthetic.
Lots of songwriters like to do that. Mm-hmm. They say that's the only word that would fit, you know?
Right.
Which I like that.
And I think, I don't know about you guys, but I've listened to the whole record a couple times, and this song stands out to me because it feels like there's something really natural about it, and I'm wondering if it's because she was focusing on the melody and the sounds rather than trying to say something, you know, grand or specific.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the opening cut is the opening cut. I think this is great. It feels very natural. It feels...
These are definitely my two favorite cuts on the album.
Infinite heart or love without fulfillment. That's Grimes. Go listen to the whole album on NPR.org. On Mondays, we put up whole albums for you to listen to a week or so before they come out.
First Listen.
It's a great series. And you can follow us in the First Listens by, Twitter's one. About to hit 250,000 people.
Wow, Bob,
at all songs, and then on Facebook, NPR Music Facebook is another way. So keep in touch,
Bob. I remember when you only had 100,000 followers. You've grown so much over the past year.
I knew you win.
Tweet me.
Do you tweet music?
I
Sammy?
Do. I
what
do
you do it at?
Tell us. At Sammy_Yenigan.
But Sammy is
Sami.
Oh, you got to spell Yenigan too. I'm sorry,
okay,
man.
Let's go. Yenigun.
Okay.
At Sammy_Yenigan. I tweet about a lot of electronic music. So if you're trying to, get tips on what I'm listening to, what other people are listening to, you should definitely check it out. And Otis.
Yeah, I'm at Spody Otis.
Yeah.
And that's...
We talk beats a lot, so if you're looking for more beats, definitely follow
us. And just so you know, there's also some Boston Red Sox tweets. Just so you know what you're getting into.
I got some more music.
Yeah, what's up next?
We got Claude Von Stroke.
Now, I think this is a really good pick, Sammy, and I think because, you know, there's these hype cycles around European music scenes, and I think San Francisco gets left out of the discussion a lot.
Yeah, I try to keep them involved because this Dirty Bird label that Claude Von Stroke started has been making some of the coolest, funkiest house.
It's dirty, dude.
It's dirty. Dirty Bird. Yeah, let's check out this song. It's called Phantom. God love my name.
So you say San Francisco, and you say funk in the same place in electronic music. I wouldn't have expected that. Is that what's defines the scene there at all?
Certainly since Dirty Bird's been around. I mean, they're kind of infusing house music with funk and hip-hop influences, and they have been doing it since around 2005. There's a...
And we're listening to Claude,
Claude Von Stroke, yeah, featuring Jaw, J-A-W. And this label has been a huge force on the West Coast for, you know, almost a decade now. They've got a compilation called the Hatched Compilation coming out.
So we're clear, the
They is Dirty Bird.
Is
and Claude Von Stroke is the owner of Dirty Bird. I mean, anything you hear on Dirty Bird's label, anything you hear on this upcoming compilation is picked by Von Stroke. I mean, he's very active. Okay. I was just talking to him the other day, and he was telling me the process of listening to music. He gets demos all the time, and he says, you know, he hears something, and pretty quickly he knows whether or not it's gonna fit the sound, and all of what makes it onto his label is pretty much a gut call on his part. Sometimes he gets the help of one of the Martin brothers, who are another
Christian
act.
And Justin.
Christian and Justin are other acts on the Dirty Bird label, but it's all got this real funky swing, you know, swung out bass kicks, and it's a really cool sound. I love what they've been doing.
And I don't know if it's ties in directly with Dirty Bird, but you know, the number one electronic music magazine in America is based out of San Francisco, Accelerator. You know, they're sort of like, something happens in the electronic world, it's on their site immediately.
So magazine and a site, the physical paper?
Accelerator still exists as
and we mentioned Mix Mag, not Mix Magazine, which was the industry magazine for engineers, but Mix Mag is also a physical paper magazine.
Mm-hmm. And that's bigger in the UK, but it, you know, anyone who has an interest in electronic music should definitely keep up with what's going on there.
I read it online. Like, I read most of my magazines online at this time. I still buy a newspaper every morning, but the DJ magazines. I mean, I feel like music comes out so quick that if you're waiting for a rag to come through, you're, you know.
Yeah, that's what frustrated me about tech magazines is that you get these things, and these things that they'd be talking about, you've had in your hands for 45 days.
Totally.
All right, so I think we have to scoot, don't we? I think.
Yeah, we should probably wrap it up. This has been great music all show. We've played, I like the John Talabot a lot. Of like the Two Bears was really funny. The VCMG at the top was a big surprise.
I got one more surprise for you.
Okay. And that was that cut a premiere, that the one we just played?
Good call, Bob. It was.
Yes, it was.
Awesome. Good work, guys. Sammy Yenigan, Otis Hart. Otis, take us out.
There's an album coming out on the 27th of February called Shangan Shake, which is a compilation of remixes by British and German producers of this awesome music from South Africa called Shangan Electro. And it's something actually that we did a first listen of back in July or June of last year. Mm-hmm. And the track we're going to hear is a remix of Zinja Langwani, who sort of is the head of the electro scene in South Africa. It's his song Ntombi Ya Mugaza. And it's a remix by Bernd Friedman, who has a great label called Non Place. Anyway, the remix is awesome. I heard from people connected with the project that it's Zinja's favorite remix on the comp, which has like a ton of big names, like Mark Ernestus from Basic Channel, Dem Dyke Stare, Actress.
What defines the sound? What would you say?
In Shangan?
Yeah.
Shangan is very keyboard-based music that can get up to around 180 beats per minute.
So fast.
Really
so
fast. Dancing to it doesn't require you actually hitting the beats, because that's impossible. So anyone can dance to that music. This is my favorite cut off the upcoming comp, which is called Shangan Shake.
Otis, can I borrow this? This sounds great.
I'll share the music with you, Bob.
Excellent. Let's listen to it in a room together.
All right.
Otis All right. Hart, Sammy Yenigan, thank you. This is fun today.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you so
thank
much,
you, Bob.
Bob.
See you in 3 months.
For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.